We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Malik Hoff, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score. Steve Stone, White Sox TV analyst.
And the pitcher, a 12-game winner already this year, Steve Stone.
Former American League Cy Young Award winner. Over four decades of excellence in the booth. No one breaks down baseball like Stoney.
Malloy doesn't have a stroke yet, but it only needs one at-bat to come to him. Like that.
Oh, Malloy Jimenez! Welcome back! Hi, Mom! See you later, 5-3!
It's Malloy's night anyway, and you figured he was going to get good pitch to hit. He got a slider up, and I mean, he hit the daylights out of that.
Steve Stone with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Steve Stone, and he joins us now on the hotline presented by Circuit Resort Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Good morning, Steve.
How are you? Everything going well, boys?
You know, I had a moment of clarity yesterday that doesn't usually happen for me, and it was thanks to you. We've been talking all week about how good the numbers are for Andrew Vaughn, how good Vaughn has been, how hot he's been. And then when you yesterday just casually kind of mentioned you hope White Sox fans support him in the All-Star game, I thought to myself, like, what an idiot I am. Why wasn't I thinking of him as an All-Star? Because the numbers are sensational. Thank you for that.
Well, I've got to say that he certainly figured it out very quickly. I mean, you've got a really talented young hitter who has great, wonderful bat-to-ball skills. I mean, he seems to be on just about everything. And what I really like about him, which it doesn't make him exactly slump-proof, but it's close. He can take the ball to right field. He can take the ball to left field. He can hit it on a line. He can hit it kind of a long way in the air. He doesn't have, you know, that supreme power that you see some of these guys have, but he is a line drive hitter. And what he says is when he hits a home run, it's a mistake. He's trying to hit the ball hard. He's trying to hit it where it's pitched. But one of the things that I've been talking about, and as he hit 238 last year, something along those lines, everybody was saying, well, put him in a trade and get somebody back we can really use. And I would tell everybody, nope, you don't trade this guy. This guy you keep because he's going to be a star. And one of the things that I liked about him from the beginning, guys, was that his balance is exceptional. You very rarely see him out front of anything. You don't see him late too often. I mean, you don't see him out on the front foot where he moves his hands and then he can get nothing into the swing. So this is just a pure hitter. I think one of the reasons why the Sox really loved him was, number one, he was a Golden Spikes winner at Cal Berkeley. He was also one of those guys that just seemed to rise to every challenge. And you look ahead and you say, okay, well, he doesn't run very well. I mean, can he really help himself when he gets to the highest levels? Will he be able to get out of slumps? Will he be able to make adjustments when the league inevitably adjusts to him? The answer to all of these questions is a resounding yes. So they can deal with the fact that he doesn't run particularly well because the rest of his game is good. And eventually, and I say eventually because right now Jose Abreu is doing everything you'd ask him to do and more. He's being out there when he's banged up. I mean, he is truly the object lesson of what everybody else should look at when they think of a professional player. a guy who, if he can walk into the clubhouse, he can play in the game. He wants to play. He has this drive to play every day and excel. And I think Andrew Vaughn eventually will be an everyday first baseman. I don't want to hasten Jose Abreu out the door, but you know, Father Time catches up to all of us. So that's going to be Andrew's position, and he's going to play it well when he plays it every day. I don't think second base necessarily is his future, judging by the throw he made yesterday. However, that being said, he's also asked, I'll play anywhere. You put me in left, you put me in right, put me at second, at first, wherever. Just put my name in the lineup, and that's what's happened.
Steve, yesterday was a difficult day because of the injuries and also the outcome, but I think the most troubling thing that we saw was Lucas Giolito, again, struggle. In his last five outings, he has given up 27 earned runs in 25 and two-thirds innings. How much of that is mechanical, or what do you attribute it to, and how can he fix it quickly?
Well, I think if I had the answer to that, then I would certainly share it with Lucas. He's got a very good pitching coach in Ethan Katz. They're working on side sessions in the bullpen on a lot of different things. Some of what he's done is mechanical. Some of what he's done is I don't think it's physical, because he keeps saying his arm is fine, so that's not a problem. I think a lot of people are taking a look at 1 mile an hour down as far as his velocity is concerned, and saying that, it's that problem. And that really isn't the problem. The problem is that he's not making good pitches when he has to. Guys are hitting him very well. I don't know if they're necessarily just guessing with him, but I do know, you know, when you get the reputation of throwing a lot of changeups, there are some guys who are good enough hitters and have enough discipline, and this is tough to do, is to sit, wait on a changeup, take everything else until you get that changeup, and then just hammer it. Looked to me like that happened yesterday with Bichette with the bases loaded. He was not out front of that changeup at all, which is unusual for Lucas's change. He was right on it. He didn't move forward. He stayed back, and then he got the changeup, which, by the way, if someone would tell you, I'm going to throw a changeup, and if you did everything right, that was Bichette. So it seemed to me he went up there guessing. And maybe Lucas has to change something around. Maybe he's got to come up with a cutter or something along those lines. Now, Ethan Katz has said that they're trying to get him not to cut the ball. They're trying to get him to stay over the top with his four-seamer and get that backspin. So I don't know exactly what the answer is. I do know that they have, you know, libraries of video and what he did before, what he's doing now. Is he varying at all? They'll know that. Everybody thinks, well, he's tipping. I don't think that's necessarily the case. But if he was tipping, they would find that out, because you look at the video and see if he's doing something different on his changeup or on his fastball. So the answer is, for me, I don't really know. My job is to call the results of what's going on, take a look, and try to evaluate it. But from Lucas at this point, the only thing I can see is he's making some pitches in situations that he shouldn't make, but that's just kind of where he is right now. I know it's been five really bad starts. He's frustrated. Ethan Katz certainly is frustrated. And with it, you know, this is a big cog in the rotation for the Sox. He's got to figure it out pretty quickly and get back to what he was.
Steve, we had a discussion this morning about Danny Mendick, the collision and the injury that he suffered. And apparently it's a serious injury, or serious enough, because they called up Lennon Sosa from AA. But who, and I'm not trying to assign blame, but when you see that kind of collision, is it incumbent upon the outfielder to call off the shortstop in that position of the field? Jake Berger was there too. Who takes control of that play?
Well, Jake is never going to be able to get there because, you know, being a third baseman, that play is an over the shoulder play. And he was not involved in what eventually happened. Normally, you've got a left fielder and you have a shortstop, and the left fielder calls for a ball when he's coming in, the shortstop gives way. Sometimes it's an easier play for a shortstop because he can be the first one there. When guys are there simultaneously, then you have something that happened yesterday. But you have to look at it this way, guys. You got a left fielder and a shortstop combination. I don't know if they've ever played together.
Right.
Maybe they played together for an inning or two, but certainly not for an extended period of time. So when you are used to your left fielder and the left fielder is used to you as the shortstop, you get a feel for what you can do and what you can't do. I would say, again, ordinarily, the left fielder has got to be yelling all the way along, I got it, I got it, I got it. As soon as the shortstop hears that, he peels off. I don't think Danny heard that. I'm not sure if Haseley was calling for it as loudly as he could have. I don't think either guy realized that it was a sure play for either one or the other. But I think the lack of familiarity between the two led to that. And injuries and coming back from injuries have made it so there's a lot of times where you're not familiar with a guy who probably could get entangled in the same play, whether it's going out toward left or right center, a new second baseman, a new shortstop, a new right fielder or a new left fielder, or sometimes a new center fielder. If you don't play together, it's difficult to get a kind of rhythm. But normally, left fielder calls for it, shortstop gives way, nobody collides. We don't see a whole lot of collisions on most teams, but I think the injuries that they've had, the fact that, you know, everybody says, well, why wasn't Tim Anderson there? Tim Anderson's coming back from a very serious groin injury. And he just played about a 4.5-hour extended game in ridiculous heat. And Tony realizes he's going to need Tim Anderson down the road. So he decided to give him the day off. And usually when he does that, he gives him a whole day off. One of the reasons why he had a bat in the ninth inning as opposed to the eighth was Tony didn't want him to go out there. He had already moved Leary to center field. So he was running short on players. He lost two in yesterday's game. The word was that he took out Luis Robert because his legs were sore. Well, he's going to play today. So they're forced to do things they don't necessarily want to do. And if that was the reason that Luis came out, that was fine. There's a couple instances where Luis did not hustle as much as he should have. And when you watch the Toronto team, and what I saw in this series was a really good team that could hit the baseball very well. Pitching a little shaky, 12 games back of the Yankees, but everybody would be with the Yankees. But what I saw, and this was an object lesson, hopefully, that our guys absorbed, our guys without sore legs, these guys ran really hard all the time. I mean, every time they got a base hit, they took an aggressive turn at first, they were looking for second. Every time they hit a single, they were looking for a double. Every time they had an opportunity to bust it wherever it is they were going, they did. And so when you look at that, and then you realize here's a whole organization who plays, I believe they play on the artificial surface in Toronto, and they don't have sore legs, and they seem to be able to hustle all the time, it would seem that you have to hold yourself to a higher standard. And sometimes there's a sense of urgency that I don't see necessarily with the White Sox baseball team.
So, Steve, just so we hear you correctly, you were pretty honest and open about that yesterday during Luis Robert's at bat when he had that play. Should have been a triple. And the suggestion now is that, obviously, he's not hustling. Tony says it's sore legs. Why wouldn't a manager, if he's not, as a player not hustling, just be open about that publicly if, in fact, you have a guy in Luis Robert who has maybe, you know, more examples than you would want of a guy who doesn't necessarily run out every time?
Well, I can't answer that. Could very well be that he does have sore legs, the same sore legs that he loafed on a ball into left center field that allowed Teoscar Hernandez to run a single into a double. That was two nights before. Everybody has a style. Players have a style. Managers have a style, and they will do that. We don't know what Tony did or didn't do behind closed doors. Could very well be he talked with Luis, and he said, look, you know, we can't have that. Maybe you obviously have sore legs. I go back to the story that I told about Bobby Cox with Andrew Jones. For some people who didn't hear the broadcast or haven't heard this story, it's a quick one. I'll tell it. Andrew Jones was the first-year player, went on to be a Hall of Famer. Andrew Jones did not run after a fly ball that he could have gotten because he was a magnificent center fielder. Bobby Cox called timeout. I was at this game. He called timeout. He waved him in, and another fielder was getting up to go, and he said, "You sit down there," for the guy in the dugout. And Andrew Jones came in from center field in the middle of an inning, and he said, "Once you take your uniform off, come see me tomorrow." Then he said to the other guy, "You go to center field." Next day, Andrew came in, and Bobby Cox said to him very simply, he goes, "Look, you could have had that ball. You didn't. To me, it appears that you're tired, and I'm not going to play a tired player. So why don't you come to me when you're no longer tired and tell me that you can play, and then we'll work something out." And 3 days later, Andrew Jones came in and said, "You know, I want to play." And he said, "Yeah." He said, "But, you know, I just don't want to put a tired guy out there. So I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you one more game," which was, I think, a total of 4 games. And he said, and then, you know, then probably you won't be as tired. And when something happens like happened, then you'll go get the ball," which he did for the rest of his career and was a magnificent outfielder. But that was a veteran manager who was fiery, and Bobby Cox was, imprinting on a youngster that kind of play was unacceptable. That was a long time ago, two different personalities. Luis Robert is not in his first year. He is not a rookie in baseball. He's been around, but it's not only him. There's a lot of players that you look around and they take everything rather easily. I call it not a sense of urgency. And so it could very well be that Tony did say, "Hey, look, we can't have that. So if your legs are sore and if you can't run, then we'll sit you for a while." But look, he is back in. I mean, we're running out of players, guys. I've never seen anything like this in my life. And everybody says, "Well, you know, you can't make excuses." Well, actually, you can, because this is alarming. I mean, we lost two guys yesterday. Another guy came out with sore legs. I mean, you look around at what's going on and you realize everybody around baseball is paying the price for an accelerated spring training. I don't believe there's any doubt about it. I said this in February, that this is what was going to happen if you don't allow people the proper conditioning under club-supervised 6 weeks of spring training, both pitchers and players. And we're seeing this all over baseball, but for the Sox, this has been an unbelievable and somewhat unprecedented run, not only of just, you know, the volume of players, but the fact that it's consequential players.
Great stuff, Steve. Really appreciate it. Great insights, and thanks for everything.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay, boys, have a good rest of the show. And Baltimore coming to town, our guys will try to turn it around.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.